This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Friday Special, a podcast by Guitar Nerds. Now, for 2020, the Friday Special series will be running every week, and each week, we'll have a new guest from the world of guitars, amplification, effects pedals. We'll have brands, producers, and musicians. So hooray, because for 2020, you get double the Guitar Nerds content, and it's all thanks to me. And speaking of me, I am your host, Joe Branton, and this week, I'm joined by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
And Ben Court, the mastermind behind Joe Doe Guitars. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Mark. How are you both?
Yes. Yeah, good. Good. Always good.
And it is wonderful to have you on the podcast. Obviously, we've been speaking about, you know, your guitars for, I don't know, like a couple of years, maybe longer now. So it's fantastic to have you on the podcast. And of course, it's such a timely time because you're going from, timely time. I'm going to reuse that. But because, you know, you're going from like just custom shop options to something that everyone can, afford and also is accessible everywhere, which is really super cool. But I guess we should start off for listeners talking about, you know, what Joe Doe Guitars is. Because I guess, Mark, you and me, we first met Ben and saw Joe Doe Guitars and talked about them on a roundup of, would it have been the Birmingham Guitar Show or would it have been London International?
I think it was London International first time, 3 years ago, Ben? Something
that's
like that?
That's right, yeah. Was it 2017? That is 3 years, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Oh, believe it or not. Yeah. It seems like a whole lot has happened in that time. But yeah, it was only 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, that's the first time we met. That was my first guitar show.
Right, that would make sense because, of course, because the guitars are so obviously, like at a guitar show, Joe Doe guitars are absolutely one of the brands people are going to talk about because they're so unique. So I guess it makes sense that was the first time we'd kind of become aware of them. And Mark, you especially, it was one of your favorite things at the show because I think I don't think I'd seen too many of them because that year I was running the GAC stand and they were kind of all you were talking about on the podcast episode we did afterwards.
Yeah, I think Jay and I were out and about trying to find the new hot thing yeah, it's, you know, the look of the guitars obviously draws you in. Ben, do you want to just talk about like how far that show was like after you started and also kind of the origins of the brand and you as a luthier?
We could, yeah. So humble beginnings. I guess I started tinkering with guitars as a teenager, as most of us do. And that would have been 30 years ago. And I've always loved guitars, always wanted to make them and design them. And that only kind of became something serious about 3 years ago, actually. For various reasons, I just kind of wanted to... My basic job as a writer, which is a wonderful job, is very creative, but I've always wanted to channel that into something else as well. So I suddenly thought, well, guitars would be quite nice. I've always tinkered, so why not make it more of a thing? Just purely enjoyment and pure pleasure, and that's still what I do now, which is why it's a bit surprising. It's gotten a little bit bigger than I would have imagined and I'm comfortable with in some ways because I still do it purely for fun. So that's how it started. So the summer of 2017, I just thought I'd like to make some guitars based on stories because that's what I do during the day. and combine that with Luthery in the evenings and weekends. And so we met at the guitar show. That was my first run of guitars that I'd made with the stories inside them, which was very nerve-wracking, I'll be honest.
That's the unique thing about Jodo guitars, the fact that as a writer you've not just made guitars as an addition, you've blended the story, so you've fabricated a plot line for every one of the guitars and built it off the back of that, which is
it makes sense to me. But I think because I like all the iconic guitars, of all the stories behind the guitars, like B.B. King's Lucy or Billy Gibbons' Pearly Gates, those stories they add so much weight to the guitar. And these guitars become holy relics just because of their backstory, really. So I wanted to kind of combine the two myself, which is basically making signature guitars for people who don't exist, and just having fun with it. And it has become a serious endeavor, but to me, I'm just having fun. I'm actually working on some more now for next year for JHS, and it's just a joy to sit down and imagine who would have a guitar like this? And what would it look like? And what would they do with it? And do you know what I mean? Those are just, it's a dream to do 8 of those again, really, which is...
That's fantastic. That's incredible that there'd be another 8, because, you know, I had an idea of this podcast sort of going, you know, in a quite linear fashion through all the things of Jodo, but we've obviously just jumped ahead to the JHS stuff. It is mad that and for listener, the JHS guitars that we're talking about are the ones that are released under the Jodo brand, but as a part of I guess JHS, which is Vintage Guitars, Vintage the guitar brand. But it's... when I heard that you were doing that, I assumed, well, you know, it will be a Jodo guitar, 2 Jodo guitars, but it was 8.
I know.
It's such a massive amount.
One guitar, 8 colors would be easier.
Exactly.
But it's like, you know, it's a blank page, and the people I work with at JHS, Dennis and Paul, they do what you do. Do you know what I mean? They can do anything. So it's just like, oh my God. Wow. Yeah. This is amazing. And there's no breaks to anything I'm doing. There's no bound. There are a few production issues. You can't do certain things just because they have to be made in a factory.
So it's relatively limitless. I mean, you've done things like, you know, there's text down the back of the actual neck. You know, that's something that I would expect to happen at an extreme custom shop level. The inlay work has been incredibly, like, you know, expansive and different on each model.
That's very true. I mean, with the one when I do my custom builds, there's much more detail that goes into them. And obviously, they're always relics, and they have intricate laser cutting and blah blah blah. But it's difficult to replicate everything on a factory level. But it's still as much fun to just draw them at home, and then someone makes them, and I look at the prototypes and go, "Yeah, it's really good."
There's a cactus F hole on one.
Yes,
on a production model that you can buy with a tweed hard case for about £700. That's outrageous amount of customization.
It's very strange. I've always been one of my dreams come true when I went to NAMM this year, which was for years I'd always wanted to go there just to see the Fender master builds. Just see what they're up to, really, because I love that level of detail and the creativity involved in that. And always been slightly envious looking at those guitars going, God, I'd love to do those. So to actually have my own, in no way on a master built level, but just to be able to present stuff that's, just come from a creative place was just, it was overwhelming. It was really overwhelming.
So one thing that I don't think you guys have covered so far is that obviously the step from kind of, and we've talked about this on the regular podcast, but for people that don't listen to it, it's probably worth explaining that you've gone from making these, you know, one-off pieces that are, you know, each have their own individual story and they're unique pieces. You know, you're not going to get another one of the, you know, the Sister Rosetta Tharpe guitar, for example, that is the one, or the Apollo moon landing inspired guitar and things like that. How did you make the jump? How did you connect with the team to bring these to a kind of more of a mass build?
Oh, that was a guitar show 2018 when I didn't know who Dennis was, but Dennis was looking across the guitars, scratching his chin, going, what are these? And he really liked them, but he didn't really have a clue what was going on because he thought they were real guitars. So I explained to him, no, they're all kind of based on a story. And he just loved the idea. And after that, we spoke and he asked if I'd do a range for vintage. And I said, well, of course. You know, and that, and they're just, I don't know, they're wonderful people to work with. They've got wonderful factories. The production is, it makes you weep when you play one of their guitars. You know, if you just cover the headstock, it's just, why would you spend thousands on a guitar? It's sure. incredible, which is obviously most Far Eastern guitars now are such a standard.
How long was that process taken then from, you know, meeting at the show in 2018 to you coming up with the ideas to them, I assume, doing prototypes and you seeing them to them being in stores?
Yeah, so we met, was it late 2018 was when we had the guitar show, and then I was talking to Dennis early 2019 and popping up and down to Leeds, showing them ideas. And then it was basically just get them drawn as fast as possible because it takes a while to have the prototypes made. They kind of come back and forth from the factory. Ideally, we wanted to have them released for Christmas, but there just wasn't the time to do that. So hence we launched the NAMM show. So it's fascinating how it all works on a production level, because normally it's just myself in the shed, you know, and swearing and blustering around with tools. But when you get at a level where it's a production, a guitar making company with factories, it becomes quite, it's amazing really how it all works. And it's all so professional compared to what I do in my shed. But that's fine.
Has anyone sort of found their way to you through the vintage stuff and, you know, learned about the brand story and then, you know, talked about one of your custom builds, for example?
Yeah, yes. But I still don't think of, I don't do any custom orders.
No.
Because I have to explain, because my job is such that we get lots of notes when we're writing scripts and we deal with, you know, lots of people. It's really nice to hear opinions, but for the guitars, it's just, I don't want to listen to anybody. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just for the fun of it. Do you know? So as long as I can just keep doing that, then it's just exciting.
That's so great.
Most custom JHS, because they just leave me alone, which is fantastic.
That is good. Most custom builders kind of the sales tack for them tends to be the amount that you can customize one of their models. So I love that yours is actually completely the opposite.
Yeah.
you can't do it at all. This is what I've got. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm happy with that, because as soon as I've made a guitar, I'm done with it. It's like, okay, fine. Right. On to the next one. It's just about enjoying the process, really.
How much kind of bleed over is there from things that you're perhaps researching for a script, for example, that then, you know, that maybe generates an idea for one of the custom builds?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, because we write, myself and my wife, just to explain, we've been like a screenwriting partnership for 25 years now. We normally do either, psychological thrillers or horror. So I'm not, there was one Shining guitar I quite like the idea of. But because the pattern design of the carpets in the Overlook Hotel, that belongs to somebody. So I couldn't just take that, because all the artwork on my guitars I do, I don't, you know, I design everything. Trying to think what the answer to that question would be. So it hasn't, nothing work-wise has bled into the guitar world other than wanting to create characters.
Yeah. One thing that's always been, I guess more than once has been a common theme seems to be the sort of the Evel Knievel style thing. Because you've introduced that in more than one area, because you've done the Daredevil.
Yes.
And then I guess you've got the Lucky Betty, which isn't, you know, which is kind of, you know, along a similar line. And then you've got the, I want to talk about the acoustic that you've got coming as well, the Tumbling Cowboys, which is a similar plot again. And I guess there's others as well.
That's all, yeah, you're right. It's all kind of my favourite movies, or the process of movie making. So certainly stuntmen. I've always been fascinated by stuntmen, and definitely Evel Knievel. Some of my favorite bits of television are watching him jump over the Grand Canyon in the rocket car and things like that. And just incidentally, the guitar, the person who bought that Evel Knievel guitar was a guy who'd met Evel Knievel. And Evel Knievel was sitting at a bar, and some guys were saying, all your stunts go wrong. So Evel Knievel asked to fight them outside the bar. And this guy who bought my guitar stood outside with Evel Knievel to defend him.
That's amazing.
So, brilliant. Just lovely. And when that happens, you just have that, oh, so great. Those things are just amazing when they happen because it adds another level onto the guitar that already has a story to it.
So now you need to build a signature model for the guy who stood outside to defend Evel Knievel when he was in a bar fight.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, my guitars do lean towards Americana quite a bit in terms of characters. I'm a little bit guilty of that, of doing, yes, that, American stuntmen, American cowboys.
That is definitely the running theme I would suggest in the guitars, even the stuff that you're making with vintage. You know, it's the very much the kind of stories are classic Americana. I guess the only one that probably leans heavily on kind of British folklore almost is like the Airfix guitar.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's the only one I can think of. I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the only one I can think of that really seems to have strong British roots.
No, you're right.
Which is the Airfix one?
It's the, what do I call it now? Oh, my Lord. It's the based on Airfix model kits. So it's got the scratch plate that's like a broken down Spitfire kit.
Oh, I remember this, yeah.
So I've done it in Spitfire. Yes, that was a nightmare to do because, I wanted to do really detailed decal work because you get, when you buy an Airfix model kit, you get the decals to stick on your plane. And so I've recreated a lot of those on the guitar. But the problem is it wasn't working with some of the nitro I was using. And I wanted to do the camouflage top like they have on the Spitfires, where it's like a green and brown. And so I tried many, many different things. And in the end, I basically just relicked it. So the green paint remains, but the brown is the wood underneath. So I relicked it into a camouflage pattern. And those things just, and the binding is done because the binding on a Spitfire is yellow with touches of red. So I was on the binding. And too much detail. I mean, the days I spent drawing the Spitfire model kit, I love doing it. But at the same time, it's
I guess it's a rabbit hole. It's a rabbit hole on those custom shops.
Yeah. I've also done a drawing for, I got obsessed with the assassination of JFK and the conspiracy. So I've basically done the same thing with all the characters on that day. JFK, Jackie O, I've done the Cadillac they were traveling. I've broken it all down to like model kit parts. And it's huge.
Right.
And I did it and I suddenly thought, how's that gone to a guitar? Yeah. And I haven't worked it out yet. And I've done the cyclists, the cavalcade who were behind, who were following the car, all the police on the bikes. I've done all that.
So that's the case where the story perhaps has overtaken actually the end product. You're not quite sure how to put it in.
Yeah, I remember Zapruder, the guy who filmed it on his 8mm camera. So I've got him and his camera. And I'm just staring at it going, I don't know why I've done that. But I've done it. If anyone has any help.
I remember the one time that I visited your workshop, I think you were struggling with the Airfix guitar at that point. And I think it probably, you know, another couple of guitars actually came out before that one made it out, you know. Seemed like that one was a long process.
Thank God it's done.
Yeah. I was going to say one thing about in terms of inspiration for the stories and thinking about when you're coming up with these things, has it been a different process for thinking about a story that is for one guitar versus the story for the vintage guitars where, you know, potentially there's going to be, you know, hopefully hundreds of thousands of them made and you know there'll be in a lot more hands than just that one person who it connects with that story in a extraordinary way.
Yeah, exactly the same process. I mean, the ones I'm drawing now, they just have, I know who's owned them. I can see them sitting with it outside the, you know, their gas station or arcade. I can see who they are. So it's exactly the same thing where the ideas come from.
There'll just be potentially more people that will connect with that than the individual guitars, I guess.
I think so. I mean, like I said, there's some things I can't quite do on the production guitars just because the level of detail and the expense does rocket quite a lot. If the more detail work you have, the more labour, the more, you know, it gets quite businessy.
Is there a consideration for that when you're thinking about the initial design?
There was last year, but this year I'm going, oh, let's just...
just do it.
Let's just put more on. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I've got... And I have a... It's like my other work. We have ideas that just knock around for years before they actually firm up into stories. Because the best stories, you'll have an idea and it will just unfold in front of you. And then before you know it...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You know, you've got a middle beginning and a beginning, middle, and an end. And I have the same thing with a couple of guitars that I'm staring at, and I haven't worked out. One is I've had some blackbirds taxidermied because I want to put taxidermy into an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
Wait, is this for the Tumbling Cowboy of Hollywood?
No, this is another one. But the problem is, and I can say that because no one would ever copy that because it's a stupid idea. But I've got the birds, but it's the actual acoustic guitar. It's trying to get the construction correct because if you have, I want it to be open fronted. So like a taxidermy case, you know, you have the glass on the front on the sides. So I'm thinking if I have a clear perspex top, I've got to work out the bracing of that. Because obviously you want to see straight into it to see the birds, but it's how I brace the sides and will the perspex take the pull of the strings once it's tuned up.
Yeah.
So, well, I wanted to talk about this actually because of course you're making a move into acoustics as well, certainly with the Tumbling Cowboys and obviously with this. How have you found the transition?
Oh, it's quite well. I'm actually there's a company called Stu Mac who do who bend the sides of wood for you. Because I just couldn't do that myself. So
yeah,
I've got basically they supply with the flat bits of wood. And I'm just going from there, really. It's I've done some of the, some of flame inlay. My friend who's also in Brighton, a guy called Joe Gagan, he's one of the best marquetry people in the world. And he designs backgammon boards and he does everything you can imagine using marquetry, different woods for... any project like chairs, tables, backgammon boards. And so I've been working with him quite a lot on doing inlay work with flamed woods and things like that. So it's fascinating because it's, you know, he's very, very talented, but he's also kind of teaching me how to mix the woods and just how that process can work and how I can start to not just do laser etching, but actually look at doing some really nice inlay work. So I can't even remember what the question was. I'm so sorry.
That's often the way with these podcasts. It's super interesting because, you know, actually, I think the first time that we met, you know, predominantly you were doing things like the, I forget the name of it, the arcade-inspired guitar, the Pac-Man guitar.
Yes.
Which I guess is, in terms of construction, pretty simple, really. I mean, obviously, you know, it had some elements on it, you know, design elements and the character elements that... brought a lot to the guitar, but really it was kind of a Strat, you know. And you know, since then you've done things like the Les Paul Junior, which I'm guessing was a glued neck.
Was that the leather wrapped one?
Yes, that was I used the Gibson Junior for that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's pleather. I've used pleather instead of leather.
And I guess the step up to an acoustic, you know, it's quite a transition in 3 years, really, to go from, you know, basically a bolt on neck guitar through to more complicated electrics, right through to potentially a Perspex top acoustic. That's quite a jump.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I want to get the cowboy one done first, the cowboy acoustic, because I've done the inlays for the neck and I've done the back. And I'm just trying, I'm always a bit guilty of putting too much on a guitar, because the best thing, the simplest things are the hardest things to do. And so I'm trying to make all the guitars look simple, which sounds an odd thing to think, but it actually is very difficult to do something simple. So I don't want to overload all these things with too much detail.
Yeah, I think you said on your website that the inlays for the acoustic were going to be a flamed eucalyptus.
Yes.
Inlay.
Yeah. Yes.
Which sounds fantastic.
Yes. I have a love-hate thing with talking about tone woods and the responsive pickups and things. I'm slightly... Oddly, for a guitar maker, I don't really get into that, or I don't get off on that, you know, kind of wine tasting attitude to pickups and things.
You need the plot line behind it. You care about the journey that wine bottle has made to your hand, rather than what's in it.
Exactly. I love guitars, and I see a guitar, and it's more a tool than it is. I don't know. So they're all, you know, instruments in their own right, and I'd see them as pieces of art. So whether a pickup response has these kind of these strengths and weaknesses, that kind of leaves me a little bit. Can I say bored? Not that.
No, you absolutely can. Basically... We're into controversial opinions. That's great.
What have I said? But I just feel that I don't. I love the sound of guitars. I like the look of them. And I just assume how they sound is something you'll just work with. So as long as it sounds good, that's fine. I don't get into the cork sniffing elements of the millions of pickups out there, because I don't hear them. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just happy with the guitar and playing it through an amp.
No, that's simple absolutely chat. Great.
That's where I am.
That's very pragmatic. I like it. A very straight up approach.
Yeah, because if you look at the specifications of the guitars for vintage, it's come through my mouth. You know how I would describe the body and how I would describe the pickup. So it's hopefully amusing, but it's something that, again, it's just like, here's the story of the pickups. Here's the story of the switches. Here's the story of the frets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just haven't done the classic, you know, cork sniffing on the hardware and pickups.
Mark, what was your favorite Jodo guitar out of the JHS, the vintage models?
Oh, out of the vintage stuff.
Maybe you don't have to answer out of the vintage stuff if it's
I mean, my favorite one of all time, you know, of the stuff that I've played and seen is definitely the Pac-Man guitar, because I just love
kind of the guitar that got you onto JoJo.
Well, totally, yeah, definitely. You know, obviously I'm into kind of 80s classic video games and stuff like that, but also actually, Ben, it's something that particular about that one that we talked about is the way that the neck was finished. I know that you'd studied kind of vintage Ibanez and the way that they get that kind of like almost like dirty neck to them. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the process that went into that. For me, that was kind of it really goes to show how much thought goes into each of these guitars.
Yeah, the process was interesting, actually, because I had to do... it took me a while to find the right yellow. So I was kind of using... Oh, my God, I was using very strange graffiti spray cans, because I thought, well, graffiti was big in the 80s, so I was trying to finish the guitars in that. It just didn't work. It was horrible because it was too soft to finish.
Yeah.
So it didn't dry hard. You couldn't really buff it up. But yeah, so I got the right yellow in the end. But it was, yes, you're right, the back was relict as, I guess, what are now old Ibanezes, which they take on a really grey... the wood just sucks up the sweat and it kind of becomes grey as it oxidizes.
Yeah, it's like a raw maple.
Yeah. So it took a while to get that right. But again, I love all that. And there's something I did, there's a guitar I did called the Sergeant, which was a Jazzmaster. that was the idea was that a police squad in the 50s had bought it for their captain, for their sergeant, sorry, at the end of his retirement.
No, I remember this plot, yeah.
And it was based on a Ford Farlane, one of those black and white police cars with the red lights on top. So that was the styling of the guitar. But what I did, which I don't think anyone's ever appreciated, was the relicking on the neck. I actually did it as a really obscure jazz scale because I like the idea that the sergeant had it and then tried to learn jazz. So all the finger marks on up and down the neck were just from an obscure scale.
Amazing.
The attention to detail is just ridiculous. Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. That's that is brilliant.
Brilliant or sad? You decide.
I think it's up to the buyer to decide at that point.
It's meta. It's meta. Meta can never be sad. That's good.
Yeah,
I'm into that. I think in answer to my own question, my favorite Joe Doe is the Lucky Betty, but I think that might be because I was a big fan of the Wall of Death as well. Which has become your first endorsee artist guitar as well, which I think is definitely an awesome story worth talking about.
Oh, yes. That was, that was interesting. I was having my breakfast, looking out into my lovely garden, having coffee, thinking life is good. And then I just read a story on the BBC website about a Cambodian metal band who had had just the worst, it was basically four teenagers who just had the worst upbringing you can imagine. I mean, I couldn't imagine it at all. Basically, their parents, they'd lost parents because all their families scavenged the scrap heaps to make a living in Cambodia. And I was just so upset by that. But I understood that there were teenage boys who had very troubled lives but were trying to make their world better by playing heavy metal. And so I got in touch with them, and I said, I have to give you a guitar because it was just so, you know, they're still struggling. They're trying to start a little recording studio and they're printing t-shirts, and they're trying to become something, which is amazing. They're much stronger and driven than I could ever be. And so I thought the very least I could do is just send them my best guitar, which I did. And I cannot believe it got there. It got there unmarked, unscathed, all the way down to Cambodia. And they don't even have postcodes in Cambodia. It was just a very small address. And so it was like a week of sweating. But it went to the charity where the teenagers, a charity worker who worked with the teens. And it got to them. And he's loving it. Vichy, he's the guitarist. And it just makes me weep, really, just that, oh, my God. These boys, they're just trying so hard in horrible circumstances.
It's an absolutely amazing story. The charity is Mums Against Poverty that worked to get him the guitar. But I thought this was, bear in mind, I was very much like this is your best guitar. I thought what an incredible story to add to the legacy of this guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd give them all away. I really don't. I'm just doing it for the fun. It's always that's why I do it. When it stops becoming fun, then I'll find something else to do.
I think that's kind of the key, really, is that when you go to a lot of these guitar shows, there's a lot of brands that are producing it. When we're talking about boutique builders, there's a lot of people that are producing similar stuff, and it's all incredibly high quality, and, you know, it's all very much a great alternative to, you know, if you're looking at the big classic brands, there's certainly other things out there that are very hand-built with the greatest woods and the greatest pickups and the highest spec and, you know, the most brilliant finishes. But to me, that's kind of boring, you know. And I think to a lot of people, you know, they'd still rather have the big-name brand on the headstock, even if they're buying a superior... if they're buying an inferior product, sorry. But the... that's what stands out about your stuff is that, you know, the big brands are not going to build anything like yours, and there's such a kind of sense of fun in all of it. You can see how they've become so popular and grown out into this production line as well.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see how that goes, really. I mean, we did really well at NAMM. And again, I felt a slight imposter because I was just there to talk about my guitars, which was odd. But I guess imposter in that I was there with all the JHS team, and they were just doing sales meetings all day, and they were just like, "Oh my God, these guys are so professional."
Yeah,
and I'm just standing there going, "Yeah, well, you know, this is based on a prison warden." You know what I mean? It's just like I felt like I don't know. It's very exposing to do that, but at the same time, I just thought, "Oh my God, what am I doing?"
Yeah,
but I'm always thinking that everything I do, I think, "Oh my God," you know, always trying to always doubting yourself. But
well, I think you know, we're pretty much coming to the end of the episode, but I think you know how absolutely incredible on top of having probably one of the most unique custom shops
that doesn't take commissions
around. Well, yeah.
Custom shop where the only person who wants the custom guitars is yourself, you know,
and that's why it's the most unique custom shop.
Yeah. I'm the happiest customer.
But on top of having that, you know, having no, you know, not like one or two, eight guitars with Vintage, who are a big deal as a company. You know, admittedly, you know, Vintage's shtick is affordable versions of, you know, of guitars that you know and love. But this was so left field for Vintage, and amazing of Dennis to do this, because obviously he fell in love with the stories as much as we did. Well, more so, he, you know, commissioned eight guitars, well, and another eight. But
yeah,
you know, I think it's incredible that it's gone from that to now being guitars that they're not just you know, they're not just cool and interesting, they also happen to be incredible value for money. Like I can't think of another guitar that's 700 quid that comes with a tweed hard case. I actually can't think of another guitar that's 700 quid that comes with a tweed hard case, let alone eight individual instruments that you know, range from like part Telecaster, part Stratocasters to, you know, to Tele thin lines with Cactus F holes, you know, to things like the Lucky Betty, which is absolutely for me a near perfect instrument, like a super cool guitar. So I think,
oh crikey,
well, it is incredibly cool. I'm a massive fan of that. Mark, did you ever say what your favorite was out of the eight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I actually, do you know what, the one that I really like is the Jailbird.
You'd say the Jailbird.
Oh, yes.
Just I'm because really into the text round the where around the side of, on the Jailbird. Yes. That was cracking.
Again, I don't know. I had the idea, and you know, Dennis and Paul at JS, they didn't say what, you know, they just went, yeah, sure. And so when I said it doesn't have any, you know, basically it has a do not cross sign on the back of the neck past the 12th fret. It has barbed wire on the 12th fret, so you're not supposed to play above the 12th fret because of the story of the warden, you know, not wanting the guitarist to incite riots. So you have to play very kindly and calmly down the bottom of the neck. And they just go, yeah, sure, that's great.
Amazing. It's the text under the scratch plate as well that's so good. It's the property of the whatever the penitentiary.
Ohio State.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. And we buried
so
a
good.
I buried a pickup under there as well that was smuggled in. Again, part of the story of the inmates weren't happy enough with just the bridge pickup. So
right. Amazing.
The scratch plate.
That's the one for me. The story's so good, and there's just little touches on that. Yeah, the Jailbird is, I love it. It's good.
Very cool.
I can't believe they let me get away with it. I can't believe it.
Well, that is about all we have time for on this week's episode of the Friday Special. So it has been absolutely wonderful having you on this episode, Ben.
Oh, you're very kind, Joe.
Thank you so much for you know, taking the time to chat with us. It's been great, kind of, you know, getting behind the scenes with these guitars that have obviously impacted on me and Mark and the rest of the guitar nerds so much. So, you know, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh no, thank you for having me.
Well, you can of course catch more guitar nerds over on Patreon on patreon.com/guitar nerds, and you can join us on any of the major social platforms with @guitar nerds. We're going to be back next week with our regular episode on Wednesday and another Friday special on Friday, so we'll catch you then for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.